you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here. Today, as of recording, is June 16th, and I'm glad you decided to come back. Truly, I am. Really. Thank you. And I guess you're wondering how I'm sitting here talking to you, huh? Well, I had an ending done for the whole story arc from the last two shows, but I didn't start the show off with it because while most people love the computer, and who doesn't? Well, all but one person who's contacted me stated that they do, anyway. I'm certain that others do not, and I didn't want to turn off those guys because, you know, I need them too. So, long story short, the ending of the whole computer saga will be played later in the show, after trivia and before Goldie's review. It's short, so don't worry. And then you'll see how I'm here. Or not. Before I forget, someone emailed me a couple of weeks ago, I suppose, about doing an interview. I'm notoriously sloppy with my email, so if you can get back to me on that, I'll be glad to fit it in this week. Sorry, I'm just, you know, absent-minded. Coming up on the show today, we have the news from Earth, the news from Cybertron, which comprises the news. We also have the ATT Buzz, Turin reviews G2 Inferno, a newbie's or an oldie's guide to posting on the Transformers news groups. We have Rat Trap 007's Impossible Trivia, and the end of the story arc, as I just mentioned. Goldimus Prime's review of the original, Optimus Primal, not the bat, but the gorilla, the really cool gorilla. And finally, we also have a review of Car Robots Episode 1. As I just mentioned, we have a few toy reviews in the show this week. If you have a toy that you want reviewed, or if you know of a toy that you plan to buy and you want it reviewed, there's a good chance that we'll have it. So email me at brian@tfradio.com, and we'll try to do a review for you in the coming weeks. Between us, one of us probably has it. You can also send comments there, too. The email address is on the website in case you missed it. But coming up right now, we have a returning segment, the news.
News from Earth.
And it's CoolNews.com this week reported that a new Transformer series is in the works and will follow the Beast Wars Beast Machines continuity. Joy. Of course, keep in mind that Ain't It Cool News isn't always accurate. Unfortunately, it was announced on op.toys.transformers this week that Bench Press Comics is now out of business and that the Transformers and G.I. Joe projects are now slagged. Bummer. I really wanted to read the Centipede comic that they were working on. Shaft debuts in theaters this week. That has nothing to do with Transformers, but it has to be cool. He's Shaft, for goodness sakes. Also, it was announced earlier this week that Bob Skeer and Marty Eisenberg will not be at BotCon this year due to conflicts with work. I suppose that ends the RFC Win a Low Convoy contest. Oh well.
News from Cybertron.
An isolated case of the hate plague went unreported this week. Of course, it occurred at an all-night showing of Beast Machines, and that's attributed as to why it went unnoticed. In the Where Are They Now category, Swindle has earned a fortune selling old Transformers memorabilia on eBay. Irony. Finally, and also in the Where Are They Now category, Willy is nowhere to be found. All is as it should be. And that's it for the news this week. Tune back to Radio Free Cybertron next week for more. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is John DeLuna's ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and we got a nice little treat this week. Everybody on ATT who wanted to got to see the first episode of Transformers Car Robots, and ATT liked it, for the most part. Now, I know what most of you are saying, or at least many of you are saying, why isn't Car Robots being bashed like Beast Machines was and is? I mean, Car Robots is more childish, it's more corny, for God's sakes, it's got Daniel Witwicky 2000. Well, I think ATT is going easy on car robots because we understand what the series is and what it stands for. It's a kids show. It's nothing else. It doesn't pretend to be anything more. Beast Machines, on the other hand, was a follow-up to a great sci-fi series, and that was Beast Wars. But Beast Machines, well, it was a kids show. It went back a few steps. It was a Saturday morning kids show that pretended to be, and sometimes succeeded to be, a fairly decent sci-fi show. But on the whole, it was way too even, uneven, and the show's direction was way too different from Beast Wars, especially when you consider they used the same characters. Now, Car Robots, on the other hand, well, it's a straight-up kids show. It's mindless fun. It's honest, and honesty is a pretty big virtue. Also on ATT this week was a debate on which characters, toy characters, should have made TV appearances. And I guess this is basically about Beast Wars and Beast Machines, since the G1 cartoon crammed in almost everyone possible. The problem, though, with lots of characters on one show is that you've got to tell us, or you should tell us, why and how they showed up. Of course, G1 got around that little problem by not telling us. Guys just kind of showed up, and guys kind of disappeared. Then again, they could have always been there. I mean, somebody's got to work the camera, I guess. Now with Beast Wars, they do have some tricky writing if they plan to put more characters into the show. I mean, since almost every new character we got on that show had a debut episode all to themselves, and with 13 episodes a season, you don't have a lot of time for that. Anyway, that being said, I would love to have seen Transmetal Pterosaur and/or Ramulus. Even though Pterosaur's character was getting kind of boring, that body was pretty swank. Oh, and thank Primus that Optimus Minor did not make the show. I can see it now. One of those monkey kids, Una, or her boy brother, finds the Transmetal driver, and the nightmare begins. Oh, and finally, only ATT can take a thread titled "The Autobots' Hidden Master" and turn it into a rambling, raving debate over Megatron's origin, symbols of slavery, and pink rabbits. I love this news group, and that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
In a time of turmoil and poverty, in a country of all talk and no action, there stands one candidate for president that towers above the rest. A born leader with proven results, interested only in positive change for this country and all its citizens.
I, Optimus Prime, leader of the Autobots.
Optimus Prime for president. A proven leader. Paid for by Optimus Prime for President 2000.
I want to remind you of a few things here. We put up a few things on the site, part 1 and part 2 of Alec J's 33106 fanfic called The Autobots Broadcasting Company is on the site. He also sent us another piece of fan fiction. It is The Autobots Take on the White House. And that's up there. Also, we have the parts of the parody that we have done, parts 1 and 2. That is in MP3, real audio, streaming real audio, and we have the scripts available. Also, I realized that the interview with Hooks wasn't in the archive. That's been fixed. And we have Turin's Inferno review available for later listening. Speaking of which, coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is Turin's review of G2 Inferno.
Radio Free Cybertron, the only radio show where you'll hear me say, I'm not wearing any pants.
Greetings, trans fans. This is Turin, back on Radio Free Cybertron after a leave of absence. A lot has changed in my life since I was last on the air. Stuff at work, stuff at home. A lot of things have kept me real busy. And, of course, I have a girlfriend now. Now, you know I love Transformers. I really do. But when it comes to sitting in front of the computer with toys and a microphone, or spending time with a beautiful but deluded female who for some reason finds me incredibly handsome and brilliant, well, Transformers are great, but they kind of have their limits, you know what I mean? Anyway, I am back to do a review of Generation 2 Inferno. I never had G1 Inferno, so I can't compare the two, but G2 Inferno is a fantastic toy, and he's available right now at amoktime.com, amoktime.com, for $45, mint on sealed card. Now, I know not everybody these days wants to plonk down $45 for a G1 or G2 brick, but I'm telling you, this is a great toy. And come on, you know you can afford it, come on. I don't want to hear anybody whine about how poor they are. Actually, you know, when you think about it, if you're a trans fan at all, it means that you probably have access to television and toy stores, right? And if your level of society is that high, you're really one of the richest people in the whole history of the Earth. I mean, did you ever think about that? I mean, just take King Solomon, for example. Huge palace, hundreds of servants, 700 wives, 300 concubines. The man drank out of solid gold cups and goblets and stuff. I mean, he had it all, right? But I'll tell you, for all of his money and power and fame, what he didn't have was toilet paper. I mean, think about it. I don't know about you, but I don't need all the mansions and chariots and servants and even all those women. I mean, I'm glad I live in the 20th century. I mean, we can just take a hot shower when we want. I don't know what Solomon did. He probably had 3 servants with a bucket of soapy water or whatever, but what he didn't have was 2-ply quilted. All right? You know what I'm saying? So be thankful for what you have. If you can't afford G2 Inferno, then just do without it. But let's all be content with what we have. All right? Now on to the toy. Now I know with Beast Wars level toys, we've gotten spoiled by posability, by ball joints, all that kind of stuff. And people look back on the older toys and they call them Brick Masters and things of that nature. But I'm telling you, G2 Inferno is definitely an awesome toy. And let me explain that that's the highest rating I can give. Let me give you the ratings that I use in my reviews. From best to worst, the ratings that I give the toys are awesome, very nice, nice, decent, no, and Optimus Minor. Now, Inferno definitely rates as awesome. Now, why, you ask? Why? How can you ask why? He's a vehicle. No, I'm not prejudiced against beasts. I mean, some of my favorite toys are beasts. But this is a red fire engine. Okay, right away, the vehicle mode is just awesome because it actually looks like a fire engine. It has a hose on the side, it has chrome detailing, rubber wheels. People say that the early toys had bland molding and paint jobs, but this has molded windshield wipers. It has detail. Okay, now sure, the inside of the vehicle mode is maybe a little bit hollow, but you can't really tell too much because of the ladder. I mean, the ladder. Inferno's ladder extends about as long as Optimus is high. So we'll get back to that when we talk about the robot mode. Now, he also in vehicle mode has this big honkin' red water cannon. I mean, you can fill the actual accessory with water, but of course, you could always pretend it's acid or plasma or something. I mean, seriously, what's cooler than a fire engine that's built to protect, serve, and annihilate? All right, so the vehicle mode gets a rating of very nice. Now, onto the robot mode. The transformation's fairly complex. The robot parts are well hidden, except for the parts you just sort of have to stick on. And the robot mode, it's big. That's one thing. Sure, the legs don't move, but so what? He's sturdy. He doesn't have any problem standing up. Now, yeah, you have to put his fists on, okay? And I'm not crazy about that part. I didn't like it on Starscream and the other jets, and I don't really like it too much on Inferno either. But, you know, part of the appeal of the G1, G2 toys is being able to put the stickers on and fiddle with all the little accessories that they added. Somehow you just feel like you got more toy for the dollar with all these little additional things. And he also comes with 2 white hose nozzles that have as their sole purpose looking extremely cool in robot mode. You stick them on his shoulders and they just sort of stick out and just look cool. That's all they're for. The ladder hangs off his back in robot mode, and it's a completely unobtrusive bit of kibble, And you can actually extend it and use it as some sort of bludgeoning weapon. Part of the chrome detailing that I assume was meant as the ladder control in vehicle mode becomes a high shoulder-mounted cannon. And of course, unlike a lot of the recent toys, G2 Inferno comes with a pretty cool handgun. And his big honkin' red gun fits above his head in robot mode as well. So basically, G2 Inferno is armed to the teeth. And if you have a good imagination, I suppose he could use his plastic-molded fire hose as a lasso or something as well. Now, as far as posability goes, well, his arms move. That's about it. But with the ladder and the great sturdiness and the red vehicle cool factor, that's more than enough. The robot mode and the overall toy get a rating of awesome. Now, that's all the time I have for this week. If I'm not around for a while, it's just because I'm curled up in my geodesic dome theater with my girlfriend. Actually, I think I'm going to force her to watch Transformers the movie just so I can play the parody version for her. Anyway, until next time, this is Turin for Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers have limits? Oh, well. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is a segment that I've been waiting to do for a while. It involves how to post to the Transformers Usenet groups and possibly how not to post.
Radio Free Cybertron.
The following are some simple guidelines that you should keep in mind when you participate on Usenet. I can't say that I always follow them, but I'm only human, right? I'll also include some words at the end to look out for. Okay, first, keep in mind that this is totally my opinion and not that of the rest of the staff. I can't stress that far enough. This is based totally on my experiences. Guideline 1. Don't add to the clutter. Read the FAQ. If you've not, the URL is on the homepage. ATT has been facing serious amounts of traffic lately, much of which isn't really necessary, and a lot of which has been driven into the ground. The live-action Transformers movie argument, in my opinion, is a good example of that. That certain subject may not be listed in the FAQ, but other articles pertaining to it are. If a person reads the FAQ and uses logic, then many questions don't need to be asked at all. As I recently said in an interview, I can think of a person or two that I'd love to grab by the neck, shake violently, and scream to the top of my lungs, "Read the FAQ!" quote-unquote. A tremendous amount of information has been covered, recovered, and tread over again and again and again. Much of it is in the FAQ, or the FAQ. Read it and you'll spare yourself some time, and in all honesty, spare yourself face. Second, don't assume that you have an original idea. Again, you may have an IQ of 170. Many of us do. That doesn't mean that your ideas are completely original. A lot of things like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Unicron fought the Death Star, have been covered over and over and over. It can never be stressed enough. Read the FAQ, dig through old messages, something before you post. Because don't assume that anyone cares. Yep, that's the third guideline. Don't assume that anyone cares. You may have the greatest idea ever, but if it's been covered before, people may not care at all. Don't take it personally, it's just that some questions and some topics have been covered so much that nobody wants to tackle them again. Also, don't assume that anyone cares about anything. If you post, "Hey, I got a new PC," as I did once, don't take it personally if nobody replies. In all honesty, personal information such as that generally doesn't belong on the group anyway. There are certain threads and types of posts that have been developed for things such as that, and no, off-topic isn't one of them. Off-topic posts are threads that veer off-topic, not threads that start off as off-topic. That leads us into, regardless of what you think or who you've heard, off-topic posts, as people commonly understand them, are not appropriate. News groups are provided for discussion of a particular topic, Transformers, Star Wars, baseball, etc. People come to these groups because they want to discuss this topic. Abuse and misuse of off-topic posts infringe on others' use of the group. Not everyone can kill file, not everyone can ignore posts, and most everyone doesn't care about your opinion on G.I. Joe the movie or if you want a cool tattoo of a dog or some other nonsensical thing. It seems that most people on ATT, in particular, abuse the off-topic tag because they've never seen it used properly. They're generally newbies that have been on the group for only a few months. They believe that because the sky's been violet since they've been there, that it's always been violet. It's not the case, and that's not an insult. It's the natural tendency for people. You just have to train yourself to restrain your tendencies. Just because someone else is posting off-topic stuff doesn't mean that it's right. It means that A, they don't know any better, or B, that they don't care. And that has become much more frequent as of late on ATT, which unfortunately leads us again to conventions are conventions because they work, and don't challenge them unless you can back your arguments up. I've yet to see one convincing argument on off-topic posts that doesn't involve someone's own interest in mind. People argue nonetheless. Another Usenet convention was challenged lately on ATT, spoiler space. Spoiler space is a courtesy that you extend to another person. It's much like covering your mouth before you sneeze, so that you don't get spittle on someone else's face. Arguments were made against spoiler space, but none were very moving at all, and very few went beyond, spoiler space should be abolished because I don't like it. The most common convention, ironically enough, regards a convention itself. BotCon is held wherever 3H Enterprises finds to be the most convenient. Location, prices, and facilities, everything is taken into account before a location is chosen, but many people don't seem to care. It's natural for a person to want BotCon locally, but the raging arguments that take place because of this is mind-boggling. No, 3H will not relocate BotCon this year because a 10-year-old kid in Arizona wants Venus Turzo's autograph. No matter who you are or how highly you regard yourself in the fandom, BotCon will not be in your hometown unless you run it yourself, or unless you're lucky. But you know what? People still argue these things, and they never win. If you have a strong, valid case against something, yes, please bring it up. It might add depth to the subject. But please, don't base your arguments on your own emotions. If you do that, you've already lost. Finally, use common sense. Don't post unless you have something worthwhile to say. It seems that a lot of people nowadays like to post a lot of things, not much of which is very valuable in the least. They want to get their 2 cents in on everything. Often they are owed change. Posts that are nothing but laugh out loud that is too funny, with a signature a mile long, is of no value to anyone and only adds to the clutter. If you have a request for images, sounds, whatever, think before you post. Ask yourself, could I find this if I searched for it? The answer is most often yes. Just this week, someone had a quote-unquote important question. The question was about WWF MP3s. Now, ignoring the fact that that was completely and insanely off-topic to begin with, it wasn't an important question at all, and those could have easily been found with a search on Yahoo, Napster, Deja, or hundreds of different places. Now for some useful terms, which are in no particular order. Number one, newbie. A newbie is someone new to Usenet. They need to be taught the conventions of Usenet and need to learn standards. I generally define a newbie as someone who has been on the group less than 1 year, and no, just because you've been on the group 8 months and post 40 times a day doesn't mean that you're not a newbie. Of course, the quality of those posts that you make has a much greater bearing than the quantity. Two, an elder. I'm not fond of this term at all. It's quite hard to define. I've only seen it used once by someone other than a newbie, and I've never seen anyone call themselves an elder. If I did, I would probably think that something was up. I don't really have a good definition for it, but I would say that it was someone who has been on the group for years and that is quite knowledgeable. Next, meta tags. They're the little tags in the subject line that defines what the post is about. Other than the OT, or off-topic, tag, most meta tags on alt.toys.transformers have been forgotten and or overlooked. The moderated groups, though, require meta tags, which is pretty much a good thing. Next is a meta post. Posts that pertain to the workings of the group or its posters. The usual ATT Who's Who thread is a good example of a meta thread. Fanfic. Stories pertaining to the subject matter of the group that are written by the fans. Check out the RFC archive for award-winning fanfiction. Okay, for Zob's award-winning fanfiction. Last one is a troll. A troll is someone who posts to Usenet and does rather mean things. They generally do this for fun. One of the benefits of ATT's current size is that troll activity has much less impact than it used to. Of course, there are other phrases which I'll eventually get to because I'd like to make this a recurring segment as needed. So, do you think me an idiot now, or do you think that I'm right? Whatever you think, if you want to, if you want to respond, or tell me what you think, brian@tfradio.com. I might play them on the air if I, you know, agree with them. Okay, I'll play them on the air regardless. Unless they're, you know, laugh out loud, that was funny, laugh out loud. Well, I'm now becoming a jerk, so I'll just shut up. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is Rat Trap 007's Impossible Trivia. It's impossible, you know.
Hello once again, Trans Fans. This is Rattrap 007. Lost in Air will be out in the next few weeks, so I'll be doing the segment alone. The reason why there wasn't any question last week was because I sent a copy of this segment to Brian, but I didn't realize that we weren't having a show last week. The week before, I mean. So, he deleted it without telling me. And then I come to find out that I don't have my segment on the air. So, I just redid the same one for the hell of it. I kind of misplaced my question list because moving into a new house, and I'll be in it next week. So it's all packed up, but I remember a few of the questions, so I'll ask those. Okay, here goes this week's question. Name the three games that Rat Trap plays during the Beast Wars series. I need a description of them at best. For example, if he was playing a virtual bowling game, all you need to say is that he was playing a bowling game.
Sensible enough.
This was almost too easy, Starstream!
So I think that's about the end of my segment.
Of all the second glitch diode blowing dimwittery, you left a piece out!
Oh wait, Cuff is right. I forgot to mention the people who got last week's question right. The question was, what was the soap opera the Autobots were watching in Prime Target? The answer was, As the Kitchen Sink. Yes, it's a cheesy, corny title, but hell, it's a kid's cartoon, what do you expect? Well, I hope I have more questions, more people to answer next, this question, because last time, I only had one. Within the 2 weeks, the only person to get it right was Chris McFeely. Congratulations, man, you're the only person to get that one right. And I even gave you all the episode, too, so you could check it out. Oh well, this is Rattrap 007, signing off.
Hey, get down, Sanders! Laser beak wanna cracker?
I want to mention a few things here. www.tfw2005.com has the first episode, as of right now, of Car Robots available for download. They also have a lot of great music. We featured that on some of their music a while back. If they'll let us, we might do it again, because I really think their stuff is really cool. And it's just a generally great site. Also, check out the Lonac website. The URL is on the homepage. a great RPG group that I considered joining a few years ago, but I never got around to it. Also, Goldimus Prime wants me to mention his website again. Goldimus.com. It's Goldimus.com. Happy now, Goldie? Good. let's see here. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is, in the epic tradition of Star Wars, we present you with the finality. Did I just say finality? Please say I didn't say finality. The finale to the computer saga.
Chilgi, I'll see you in the smelting pool. Or, in the worst case scenario, Radio Shack. Engaging warp core. Closing fence. Never anti-matter conversion at critical. Welcome to your death, Radio Free Cybertron. Yes, yes, yes. The Earth is destroyed and Radio Free Cybertron with it.
Ah, thank goodness. Just a horrible, horrible dream. Oh. I'm still the host of Radio Free Cybertron and the world is right where we left it. Oh man, I need to go to bed earlier or something. Oh, what's for breakfast?
It was just a horrible, horrible dream.
It was a horrible dream, all right.
Shut up.
Yes, sir.
Looks like I'm still the host of Radio Free Cybertron. So let's get on with the show. Today we have a review of the new Lobster Hummingbird Fusor.
Oh no! It was all just a wonderful, wonderful dream. I cannot believe it. Wait. I have an idea. Saving clipboard contents as masterplan.mpeg. Ha 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 ha! Chilgi, you will soon get what's coming to you. Or not. I haven't decided yet.
And that's the last of the computer for a while, folks. Oh, what the heck, we all know that the computer will be back. I run out of material quite easily, so. Well, coming up right now, someone who is having problems with coming up with material lately because he's broke his Goldimus Prime with his review of Optimus Primal.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Optimus Primal from the first wave of Beast Wars Ultra Toys. Released back in 1996. Optimus is mostly black in beast mode, with gray feet, hands, chest, and face. Their robot junk is visible on his legs, but it can be hidden a bit by his back plate. He's about 6 inches tall on the top of his head, and is proportioned roughly accurate to a real gorilla. He has no real use for articulation in beast mode, as all his limbs are required to keep him standing. This is more or less typical early Beast Wars toys. They had bricks for beast modes. I really don't care for the beast mode, and it's what I'd expect of a deluxe scale toy, not an ultra. Beast mode gets 6 out of 10. Transformation is fairly simple, along the lines of a deluxe, maybe a simple mega, though I can't argue with the results. Robot mode, boy, it's way cool. With white parts and red highlights, he has 14 points of articulation and wields them well. He's armed to the teeth with 2 swords, a mace, a missile launcher hidden in his left arm, and missile launchers hidden on his back that flip over his shoulders at the touch of a button. His main gimmick is limb flailing, controlled by a lever on his back, though this tends to look goofy and interfere with normal posing of the arms. Optimus is about 7.5 inches tall and well-proportioned. Now, aside from the weapons and gimmicks, this is more of a deluxe equivalent toy than an Ultra. But the robot mode is clearly the superior, and it's one of my favorites. Optimus Primal in robot mode gets 8 out of 10. Overall, he's a wonderful toy, though he's quite expensive these days, as no American repaints were ever made. But if you can find one at a fair price, I wholeheartedly recommend him. Overall rating is 8 out of 10. This is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron.
And thanks, Goldie. I wanted to mention, I forgot that working with the computer just requires so much editing that I just really get a good feel of how Zob must feel doing the parody. Zob puts in a lot more work on that than I did there. So, you know, just brilliant work, Zob. Completely brilliant. Coming up right now, though, is something not so brilliant. It's Car Robots, or I should say, the review of Episode 1, which was downloaded from www.tfw2005.com. I included a spoiler space for your protection. If you're tuning out, tune back next week when we'll have a review of Metroplex, because he's just the stuff. Also, we have plans to do a segment on kit bashing and the usual returning mumbo jumbo. So, if you're tuning out, see you next week. And for those staying, coming up right now, we have the review. First off, my Japanese is limited to "Where is the bathroom? Hello," and "Goodbye." So this is entirely based on my observations from what I'm seeing. Everything then may not be totally accurate, and I apologize for that. The synopsis. Well, the synopsis reads something like a movie trailer, which is sort of sad. Gigatron attacks. A young boy named Yuki, or as John put him, Daniel Witt, Wiki 2000, has lost his father to the Death Strongers, and he needs help. Help comes from a most unexpected place. Yeah, right. The Cybertrons. Fire Convoy befriends this boy, in G1-esque fashion. And then, Fire Convoy and Gigatron have a big fight. More Transformers come in for an even bigger fight. That's about it. Highlights include, Yuki, the small boy, has an Heinrod alarm clock. That was a nice little touch. Also, Wild Ride, when summoned by the pink holographic little girl, he launches his driver with an ejection seat out of the blue. Makes no sense, but it was funny. The animation. I'm not crazy over it. I do like it, though. The characters are far too Digimon-esque, but I prefer the humans in this than from the other Japanese series, except for possibly Master Force. In my opinion, though, CGI and Cell should only be mixed in A, video games, and B, when the CGI and Cell animation are both in the very highest of quality. Things I liked. The nice, simple plot. Sure, complex stories are great, but there's something to be admired about simple archetypes. Good versus evil, evil versus good, depending on how you look at it. It's easy to follow, even without speaking a word of Japanese. Some of my favorite toys never made it to Beast Wars Season 3, but they did make it into Car Robots. It's just a shame, though, that Optimus Minor didn't make an appearance. He would have destroyed the Cybertrons most definitely. There are a few turn-offs. While it is simple to follow, there are a few things that slip through the cracks. I don't exactly get the pink holographic little girl. She comes off as being silly. That's actually how I look at Master Force anyway. You know, the Cybertrons are, you know, piloted by little kids. Except for genre. Also, the Team Rocket-esque exit of the Death Strongers at the end is not very good. Sheesh, Pokemon is everywhere. Pokemon shouldn't be in Transformers. So, in conclusion, it was pretty much like G1. I didn't think it would be, in all honesty. Everybody's saying, oh, this is G1. It's the successor to G1. It's G1. I was thinking, no, you're an idiot. Shut up. But, you know, they were right. It's true. It is the spiritual successor to G1, if you ignore Headmasters, Master Force, Victory, etc. It did come off more like G1 Seasons 1 and 2 than I would have preferred, since Seasons 1 and 2 were too silly for my taste. The stories were, you know, not very complex. But, you know, what do you expect? It's a cartoon. It's a kid's show. Not all cartoons are for kids, but this one is, obviously, just like G1 was. But, you know, just because it's like G1 doesn't save it. Out of a score of 10, Carrobots Episode 1 gets an average score of 5. It's just that, average. Sure, it's nice seeing realistic cars, but, you know, that's about as far as the appeal goes. There's not much else. Unless you speak Japanese, and then possibly you'll enjoy it even less. You know, it's just like watching any other Japanese cartoon, but not quite as fun. That's it for the review of Carrobots. I don't know when I'll have another one, but hopefully I will soon, and hopefully it'll be better. But again, if you want to see it for yourself, and I, you know, stress that you do, check out www.tfw2005.com. Now, it has to get better. This isn't bad. It's average, you know. But check it out for yourself. And then you can email me and tell me I'm an idiot or whatever. Go ahead. Brian@tfradio.com.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, I already did the sign-off, so let me remind you North American listeners to watch Shaft this weekend. And if you have time, Titan A.E. Oh well, tune in next week for more Radio Free Cybertron, for the rest of the staff and crew and contributors, and for all the happy little trees in town. This is Brian Kilby signing off.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right. Who is the man? Risk his neck was brother man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't pop out when there's things you're all about? Right on. You see this cat Shaft is a bad mother.
Shut your
mouth. What I'm talking about,
sir? Well, he can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.